just open your word this morning. And you know, I was so glad to hear the pages that have just been rustling all during this ladies' retreat. I tell you, any good soldier will go totally prepared for battle. You don't run out there without a sword and your equipment. So folks, I'm glad to see. Hold up your Bibles today. Somebody had us do that. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Praise the Lord. We've got all sizes. Now, we've had all kinds of versions read, and we've used all kinds, but today I'm going back to good old King James. Somebody asked me one time when I was teaching, they said, why did you use that particular translation? Isn't the King James okay? I said, yes. And that was the only time I had ever really taught out of that Bible. But somebody noticed that. So I've got King James this morning. And we want to look for the 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. And I'm going to read several verses, verse 40 through verse 51. And he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Now let's skip down to verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and unto the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Oh, praise God. I'm going to have a little camp meeting right there. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling, with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword, and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now, I want to give us a little background this morning before we get real deeply into this. We need to know who little David was. Just a young lad, but he had been handpicked by God to take Saul's place. Women, today, God has handpicked every one of you. And I got a special scripture that I'm going to share with you a little bit further down. But he had been handpicked to be God's special servant. God had a special place for him. Saul had turned his back on God and was not following God. And Samuel was called upon then to select someone to take his place. And you know what? They went through and they thought, okay, and Samuel had seen the different ones and he thought, man, you know, the people were not repenting like they should have. Back in that 15th chapter and the 29th verse, and it says, and also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. God would not go back on his word and let them down. But when the heart of Saul was turned away from God, it was time to choose a successor. And when he went out, he saw that. He told him exactly where to go. You know, when the Lord tells you to do something, he gives you specific instructions. He won't send you off on a wild goose chase. There's been times when God has told me, well, you need to go so and so. And I said, God, I don't even know where that is. I don't even know how to start about getting there. And I just have to pray. And the Lord would take you there. Now, most of you know, and some of them particularly in my church, knows that Dolores cannot give directions very well. I'll lose you so bad. And I can't read a road map. Bless my husband's heart. And there's a word for that. There's a big long word. And oh, Lord, if I'd have just cut that out years ago, I could have showed you that long word. But it happened. It came out in Ann Landers what it was. I get so turned around when I left my home back in Hempstead, Texas. I got lost. I couldn't tell you which direction I'm coming, but I know where I'm going. I just know I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm just passing through here. But when we go somewhere, my husband looks, and he said, well, honey, read the map to me. Ooh. Oh, how many wrong turns and crooks have we taken? And I had him going north when he should have gone south, west when he should have been going east, up when he should have been going down, and down when he should have been going up, and every other way. And he just says, well, honey, I understand. Give it to me. And every red light, he reads it, or if he has to pull off at a rest stop, he'll read it then. But we finally get there because of him and his directions. But I don't give good directions. But God gives very specific and direct instructions. When he sent him out, it told him to go down to Jesse. See, to Bethlehem, there to Jesse. And choose him out one. And he saw one of them coming out, and he looked on his countenance, verse 7 of that 16th chapter said. And he saw, well, he had good stature, he says. Oh, wow. He had looked at him and he thought, well, surely this is the one the Lord wants me to come to anoint. Surely this is the one. Have you ever made a mistake in God's judgment? Ooh, what he's done. And you misinterpreted the whole thing. God got Samuel's attention and he said, let me give you a little bit of instruction. He said, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart. And aren't you glad that God knows what's in our hearts? I tell you, if you've got something hid, the Lord will bring it to light. There is no hiding place. His sovereignty told us that last night. It will tell you that. He's all wise. He's all knowing. But David was the one that God had chosen. So we see them here. The children of Israel are out here. They're in the midst of a great battle. And here's this giant. The scripture says he's over 9 feet tall. And evangelistically speaking, I can probably say this morning, he's probably closer to 10 feet tall, because I have a vivid imagination. Something that appears very small in the dark normally is usually very large. You know, I think. Because the enemy magnifies things to you. But this was really a giant. Really a big guy. And he had taunted the children of Israel. He had paraded around. He had literally terrorized the Israelites. They were God's chosen people, and yet he was allowed to terrorize them. Have you ever had the enemy terrorize you? Magnify a problem to you till it became a Goliath in your life, and the whole army of the Philistines was gathered about you. I tell you, when the devil begins to magnify things to me, I said, now look here, enemy. Go back to the pit. We have to tell him that, and we have the right to do that. But here he'd stood. They were so afraid of him that they had utterly fled in terror. Oh, God, what a shape they were in. But David's father decided, he said, well, I want to know how my other boys are doing. He said, David, and he prepared David. He said, David, you go down and you check on them. You go down there and you take them this bread and these cakes, and you check on everything that's going on. So David trots on down there like an obedient son, and oh, that we all had those kind at one time or other. Man, we're not always that obedient, at times. But praise God, he got their attention, and they'd be walking in obedience a lot better now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But Jesse sent him on an errand. He said, you go down, and let's see how the battle's going. When he got down there, he heard all their wild stories. Wouldn't you have just loved to have been there? Man, here were these brothers and everybody just cringing, and I can just see them crouched in fear like a bunch of scared quail that just crouched They were so afraid because somebody was roaring out there, making his boast. Oh, I'm the biggest and the best. I'm the meanest and the baddest, and I'm the greatest. And look at me, as he lifted himself up. David said, well, wait a minute. He was just a curious little lad. And he says, well, what's going to happen to the man that can take care of that giant? And then he asked him, he said, what in the world does this uncircumcised Philistine think he can do down here to defy the armies of Israel? David had some faith, friends. He had some faith. He said, who does he think he is to defy the armies of the God of Israel? And when you know there's always one in the crowd to put a fire, put a blanket on your fire. His brother jumped all over him because the oldest brother thought he should have been the one that was anointed. But thank God, God didn't anoint that one. Oh, he was so jealous of David's position. David was only acting on the instructions of his father. Now, you put that in perspective this morning. When we are walking in obedience to our Father, not everybody's going to like us. Sister Pesky told us about that yesterday, about those that if you ever think you get lifted up, you'll get skinned real quick because somebody will come along to just absolutely strip you down. They'll be there to say, well, you, They always have an advocate in the bunch. But you know what? God had chosen him. David was reprimanded. He was accused. He was ridiculed. And so many words, his older brother said, just buzz off and mind your own business. He was minding his business, was he not? He was on his father's business. He was going to bring a report of the battle. But what will we see him doing? The scripture then records how he talked to Saul. There's a conversation that he had with Saul. And he said, well, why can't I go? And Saul looked at him and he said, but you're a little lad. But David wanted to go. Saul said, well, okay, I'll just, here we see, little fearless David. And big old Saul there with all of his armor on, he said, well, you can't go unarmed. Let me give you some armor. And he proceeds to take his off and put it up on him. And I can just see little David as those weights. Here's Saul, probably this high, and little David down here. And all this stuff was probably dragging the ground. And I mean, the tin on the thing was rattling. That would have been enough to scare the giant to death. But anyway, David said, no, I cannot do this. I have not tried these weapons. These are not my kind of tools. And friend, let me tell you, you better not use anything that God has not equipped you for to take to battle with you. But if he sends you out, he's going to give you the right things. So we see fearless David, who had been laughed at and so much as called a dog. When he ran out, he went head on. He said, I'll take this. And he went by and he began to choose his little stones very carefully. David had had a lot of experience in stone collecting as he had set out. His little sling, and when I think about what he was able to accomplish with that little thing and the faith in God, what can you and I do today? Having the Holy Spirit's anointing, having the equipment, having the Word of God in all its fullness that we have today, David had to act entirely by faith. And you and I, that's still how our battles are won, is still by faith. But he went out there, and he ran head on. With his faith in God, it said he hasted. The word there tells us in that verse that he hasted and he ran toward the army of the Philistines. He literally ran to the battle. And you know what? God's looking for men, women, boys, and girls today that will say, I will take the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, and I will run into the battle. You see, David was not going to be satisfied to just look on the battle from a grandstand view or a balcony overlooking the battle. But he wanted to be in the midst of it. He wanted to offer his help. He wanted to jump in there and do everything he could, totally unafraid. He was not afraid to leave the sheltered place. I fear today that many people are afraid to leave their sheltered place. Oh, I couldn't possibly talk to that person about God. They would reject it. So what? Get the next one that comes along. sooner or later you're going to catch a fish. Did you catch a fish the first time you went fishing? Probably not. Probably not. But patience catches the fish. And the same is true in the work of the Lord. Those that are patient keep fishing. And you don't fish for them in the church. That's not where all the sinners are. There are some there, grant you. But most of them are out in the world. You have to fish where the fish are. So he chose his stones very carefully. That lets me know this morning that you and I must choose the stones that God has given us, our stones for battle. And I believe that God today is preparing a mighty army of ladies, men, women, and boys and girls, and equipping them with the stones that they are needing to meet the enemy head on and see him defeated. You know, God today, I believe, is calling forth an army that is marching with heavenly orders, with a fire in their hearts, burning for the Lord, and victory in their steps. No defeat and a smile on their face. I get upset when I see people who say they're serving God and there's no joy there. It looks like it's a dire drudgery to them, and their faces are long as that mirror. I get upset. They're not enjoying their God. If I wasn't enjoying it any more than that, I would throw it out and get me another one. I would get me somebody that was alive and seated at the right hand of the Father, that is going to hear me when I get down and pray, when I can call on him in the middle of the night. You can't always go to your phone and pick it up and call somebody. They may not be at home, and they wouldn't appreciate you very much calling them at 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning, because they like their Z's, you know. But let me tell you what, my Heavenly Father is never tired. He never has to lay down and take a nap. He never gets tired of his kids coming and knocking on his door. And God help me, I've been there so many times. He sees me coming and he said, it's her again. Oh, angels, get ready. You got to go deliver something special today, because she's come and she's knocked on my door. That's the kind of people I'm telling you God wants today. Some with a spring in their step and a joy in their heart, and the Word of God that's alive. When he told me I could be a lively stone, I took him at his word. I want to be that lively stone for the Lord. I want to be fearless. I want to be bold. I want to be courageous for the Lord. And that's what God is calling you and I today. You and I that can be totally covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. As we go out, we can reflect His glory everywhere. And it'll make people so curious when you walk in with a smile on your face. They want to know, hey, what in the world is wrong with you? And you say, oh, glory, here's what's wrong with me. I can tell you what's wrong with me. Somebody bigger than me lives in this body. Somebody fills all the space in my life. Somebody gave me this joy. Now, when I look back over my life, I could have sat down and felt sorry for myself. Some of you have heard some of my story. But I want you to know, when I found my God, that was all I needed to take care of me. I tell you, I found peace. I found security that I had never had till that point in time. I found a God that I knew would be my father and my mother, who would stand by my side in the good times and in the bad times, if I had stuck with Him through all the times. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. I'm about to get excited. Oh, man. And you know what? You know how you get to that part, don't you? And God wants an army to march forth to take their victories and take the things that they have let the enemy steal from them. I'm tired of him stealing from the people of God. I mean, he don't have any authority here to steal what God has placed within our hearts and lives. He has no authority to do that. But people continue to let him. And you know why? It's because they have forsaken their closets of prayer and the study of the Word of God to equip them and to know that they were the victor. They were not a victim. They were the free people of God, not the bound people of God. Lord, I don't sit in a prison house this morning. No way, Hosea. I don't sit in a prison house, but I was freed at Calvary. His blood washed me, and he gave me a place, and I can go right to his throne room, and I can just sit down there and rest in his presence. Glory to God. And I'm getting so excited. Oh, praise God. But I tell you what, God wants to send his people forth with an anointing that will break the yokes and the bondages that they have let the enemy put up on them. And it makes me mad at the devil to see what he's doing to some of God's kids. We need our stones out, and we need to go to battle over the enemy this morning. And I tell you, it won't be in your glorying in yourself. Jeremiah 29, verses 23 and 24 says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Oh, praise God, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glory in this, that I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Praise God. I tell you, some people say, well, bless God. He's just the God of love. He would not judge me. My friend, his anger can be outpoured by repeated rejection of him and our continued disobedience to him. It makes his heart sad. And our sister shared some of that with us last night in her message of someone that had died and gone to heaven and saw what it was to see their father weep because they had hurt his heart in not following him in obedience. Yes, he's a righteous God. He's a loving God, full of mercy and tender compassions. But we have to do and obey him. Bless the Lord. I guess I better get down here and start naming some stones for you this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. 25 minutes. Okay. Bless the Lord. We'll run past. It don't matter. Praise the Lord. I'd rather feast at the Lord's table. If you're not having a good time, I am this morning, man. If you're not getting blessed out there, come on up here, man. It seems to be really strong up here this morning. And if you get weary out there and you just want to come on up here, I'll understand. You won't bother me a bit. And if you just want to get up and have yourself a Jericho march, you go right ahead. I want you to be comfortable doing the things of God. We're a group of ladies that came forth to get ready to go out to battle. You're going to need this next week, friend, because the enemy's going to see to it that he's going to set something out there. And if he could trip you up, he would do it. Let me tell you, God prepares you ahead of time. When you're on those mountaintop experiences, you better not just fling away the hours, because God has given you that as a time of preparation. How was David going to be equipped? He had already taken care of the jobs that God had given him to do. He was in a position to be used of God because he had prepared ahead of time. All right. We find in the 17th chapter, one of those things was he had to have the right kind of armor. And the Word told us that, and I've already covered that a little bit. When the Goliath came out, there he came. His spear, the point of that spear, one of my commentaries said weighed at least 15 pounds. Man, he had sheaths. I can just see the old buzzard coming out there thinking he was so great and thinking that nobody would ever beat him. And the poor children of Israel sitting down there shaking in their boots. Let me tell you, when the devil comes at me, it just makes my dander rise. I mean, my hair wants to stand on top of my head when he comes at me, because he makes me so angry that he would even try some of the things that he tries. It's stupidity that he tries it. And it's even worse when you let him do it to you. But God has made us the victor over him. With the right armor, you can go out. Yeah, he thought he was totally prepared. He had another thing coming because he had not let God in on his plans. He had defied the army of Israel. He had caused them, and I just know he was having a field day. And you just put yourself in this position. When you give place to the enemy, friend, he's having a field day, and he's out there laughing. He's out there laughing. And he's saying, uh-huh, where's your faith in God? Did you ever have him accuse you like that? And you can say, dirty, rotten devil, go back to the pit. Who gave you permission to come out anyway? God didn't. And you don't have to let him sit on your shoulder and tell you things. Bless the Lord. Let me hurry over here. God gave you and I equipment this morning. I may not ever get through with this. We may still be preaching through 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock tonight. Oh, God. Bless the Lord. But God tells us in the 6th chapter of Ephesians what our armor is. Verses 13 to 18. Now, I'm going to skip back up there. I'm going to skip up to verse 10. Where it says, finally, my brethren, and that means sister and two, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Not your might, as we'd read the scriptures there. Anyone that glory, let him glory in the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore put on. This says, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of the Lord. What does he say then? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching unto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I tell you what, friends, people think that when they got born into the family of God, some of them act like they think that they were born into a country club. But I got to tell you something. We were born to go into battle, not to have a country club experience. And I don't know about you, but I sort of get upset sometimes. So when things are just going, you know, just seems like there's you're skimming along out there and there's not a wind blowing, and you're just out there bobbing, you know, and you think, oh, how restful. You better enjoy it, because the battle's coming on. But he gave you some equipment to work with. The right kind of equipment can win any battle. We see our soldiers today, and God bless them. And when we sang yesterday morning and opened up, I cannot help it. Every time I see my flag and we begin to sing songs like God Bless America, and I hear the Star Spangled Banner and go to Pledge Allegiance, tears just begin to come in my eyes. I got all broke up here yesterday. I don't know if you saw me or not. But I was talking to my friend, and she said, Dolores, I was making it fine. She says, I thought I was going to cry. And she said, then when I looked at you, I really did. So, I mean, you know, I feel for this, because I can see where our country is going to today. And those flags represent something. When you wave that red, white, and blue at me, man, that means there's some authority behind that. We have our armies that stand behind that. Our guys that have gone out to battle have been given the most up-to-date equipment, and millions of dollars that are spent to equip them to be able to win a conflict. You and I have been totally equipped by what cost Christ at Calvary, that we could be totally shod. There is no excuse for us not to have it. The only thing you have to do is get up and put it on and get ready for battle and go and do. Our equipment has all been bought and paid for. So remember, when you came into the family of God, you were born into the army of God, not a country club. So David knew this too. He knew the God of Israel. He became so angry at the enemy for mocking what God's people, the condition they were in. And let me tell you today, I have gotten very angry at what everything that has trotted out across our land wants to make us Christians look like. I tell you what, I get real angry at the devil when he does that. And I say, devil, we're going to see you defeated. You just go ahead and you have your fun now. But your day to burn is coming. And I'm going to have God turn you over to make sure you burn completely up. We have the power in the name of Jesus. David did not go out. That was his first stone. He had the right kind of equipment. He was totally equipped for this battle. The second one I want to combine as courage and faith. Let me tell you, you better not go out without the courage and the faith of God in your life. He was not afraid of Goliath's scorn and his ridicule and his boasting. And I like what verse 32 said. David returned then to give the people some consolation. What did he tell them in that verse 32 of that 17th chapter? Let no man's heart fail him. Thy servant will go. And today, can we say that for the Lord? Oh God, don't let them get fearful and afraid. Your servants will go for you. We will go, Lord. We will do. And verse 45, he says, I come in the name of the Lord of hosts whom thou defied. God wants us to go out to our world about us. And those that have defied God and ridiculed God to show them what true Christianity is like. I didn't say religion, and you'll notice that. Not religion. Religion will not get the job done. It takes real born-again experience at an altar of prayer and a personal contact with God is real Christianity. That's what our world needs to say. See, you know, David had found out, and he says it back in the 34th chapter in the 19th verse of Psalms, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Victory, folks! That spells victory. Spells victory. Praise God. You know why he could say that? David walked with the deliverer. Praise God. He was in God's army. He was walking with top brass, top gold, top general. I mean, the whole host of heaven was behind him. And when you go in the name of the Lord, all the host of heaven goes with you. You cannot be defeated. You've already won the war. Yeah, the battle's still out there. You're going to have to go through it, but we have God's promise. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. It makes a difference who you're walking with this morning. Now, you can't walk one day with Jesus and the next day with the devil and all his imps and expect to have victory. No, every day, daily walking before the Lord. He was chosen of God, and God was precious to him. And I like over in 1 Peter 2, I want to turn over there right quickly. Don't get worried about the time. I'm not. Praise God. I had breakfast this morning. I had my bowl of Wheaties. Praise the Lord. I hope you did too. Praise the Lord. Second chapter of 1 Peter, verse 4 through 9. I'm just going to skip back up there. To whom coming as unto a lively stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion. That's where we get that song. A tried stone, a precious cornerstone. Hallelujah. I won't sing it this morning. He says, we're elect, we're precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Praise God. Friends, do you know your promises this morning? Do you know your word? Do you know what it says? Do you know where your power is? Do you know your equipment this morning? Oh, I'm telling you, when you know that Jesus is standing at the helm of your life, that makes all the difference in the world. Oh, he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto all they also they were appointed. But listen to this. This tells me about us again. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Oh, man, God, give us people that will realize where their authority is this morning, and let them know that because they're a child of God, you know, it used to not be too, you know, there was a time I can remember when I was coming up, if you said you was a Christian, it brought you all kinds of persecution. Man, they'd rock you, they'd egg you, they'd do everything they could, but God always protected his kids. And then we went through a period of time when it seemed, oh man, that was the thing to do. Everybody was going to church, and man, you as a Christian, I mean, they were in Christian in name only, but it made it a little more comfortable. But I'm telling you, friends, I believe that in this last day, the enemy is waging his all-out attack. He knows his time is short, and he is moving in on the people of God that will let him, to take away their victory. But God says we are the victor, and we had better know where our power is this morning. Know that we have been chosen for God to do the work for God. We are his workmanship, created after his own image, a chosen generation. David was chosen for the task to go out for God. He counted it a privilege. God, give us people today that will do that also. And then going back to your 17th chapter, we find that he had, in verse 47, he had a determination to win. This is now the third stone. And let me tell you, friend, when I started out with Jesus, I didn't start this race to quit it. I never like to quit anything. And my husband can tell you, I am not a quitter. When I start something, I think it has to be done that day. You know, because it has been begun. And I think it ought to be done instantly. And sometimes it takes a period of weeks. But I tell you what, and I'm certainly not a quitter in God's kingdom. I tell you, God gave us some equipment he wants us to use. And God doesn't want a quitter when the first giant runs out against you. But a lot of people are that way. He was not in any way intimidated by the enemy. You know why we lose our victories? Because we let the devil intimidate us. And because he's roaring, and God knows, the scripture tells us that he as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But there's something very interesting about the roaring lions. I found out, and praise God, this just helps me give the devil a black eye every time. I found out the ones that are roaring are those that don't have any teeth. I mean, they have fallen out. All they're doing out there is just scaring up the prey for the young ones that can jump on them. And he went before the throne of God, and he said, well, do you see my servant Job? God said, sure, I see him every day. Many times a day. Man, that's my favorite son. And he said, well, God, I need a little permission. I want to do something. He said, what if you just let him get sick and die? God said, well, let me tell you something, devil. You can have him for a while if you want to test him just a little bit. And you can have him. But let me tell you something. You cannot take his life. So this morning, if you think you're in the midst of a battle, it's going to take your life. Cheer up. No, it will come to pass. Praise God. The word of God says, and it came to pass. And the time is coming to pass, too. I better hurry on. Okay. And let me tell you something. Verse 47 said, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. You give that to the enemy. Oh, praise God. And then I like the fact of verse 51. Therefore David ran after he had let loose his stone. Now I want to tell you something. I think the giant just thought he wanted to mock David, and I think he got caught in his own trap. When you can think about the armor that guy had on, he was totally covered from head to foot, so I like to think that he had a visor on his helmet, and he thought, I'm going to get a real close look. You know, because sometimes when you got those things on, they kind of blind you just a little bit, and they kind of distort things. Have you ever noticed that? And I think he just sort of lifted that up a while to take a peek, and God directed the stone right there. I mean, and he fell down dead. But you know what? Verse 51 says David ran. You know, David was not going, he was not going to give up till he knew he had total victory. He was not going to be satisfied just to stun the enemy. That's why we get in trouble this morning. We do not defeat the enemy. We let him defeat us. We only stun him, and then he gains power to come back at you again. You've got to totally destroy the fella. I mean, you know, he has no authority over you. David said, I will not just stun my enemy, but I'm going to destroy him. And immediately when he fell on the ground, oh, praise God, David went in all his courage and faith and boldness and determination to see a total end of Goliath. He jumped upon him, pulled old Goliath's sword out of his own pocket and killed him with it. And the devil's doing the same thing today. If you turn around long enough, you can see how the enemy, you can catch him at his own tricks. Because you know why? My word tells me that God has made us wise to his tactics. And you can catch him at his own tricks. So David was not going to be satisfied, but he immediately went and he took care of it and he cut his head off. Immediately take care of the little giants in your life and the big ones won't bother you. They cannot become big if you take care of them while they're little. Praise God, that's good for you this morning. You see, David had to make a choice whether or not he was going to be a victim or he was going to be a victor. And you and I have that same choice this morning to decide, I am going to be a victor. I am not going to be a victim. And you know what? And my word tells me that that ill enemy was made to be destroyed anyway. If you turn over to Romans 16, verse 20, you'll find something else really great in this verse of Scripture. For it says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Praise God. Are you in the midst of a battle this morning? Take courage. I want you to know you can bruise the enemy under your feet. And it's time for us to go back to our heritage, even going back to the book of beginnings in Genesis 3, 14 and 15, and begin to take our place, take our promises and stand upon them. For what did it say in this verse of Scripture? And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Praise God. That lets me know that we can not just inflict a minor damage on the devil, but we can give him major damage. And because the way that word there is, sometimes we're just satisfied to just minorly get rid of the enemy. If it gives us a temporary relief, we just minor. You know, we do a little minor battle. But major battle is what gets the victory done. And we find that God's word and God's power is what's going to crush the enemy. The enemy was made to be destroyed. And you can go to 1 John 3, verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of Man was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Another good scripture on that's found in Luke 4, 18 and 19. And I'll turn over there and you can probably find it almost before I do. But it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, are wounded. I want you to know God has a victory for us today. And he says he does not want us to be intimidated by the enemy, but see to his total destruction. I heard someone a while back, and I thought that was the best illustration. And about 1 o'clock last night, the Lord I thought, well, Lord, I ought to put Jesus on one foot and Christ on the other. And I started to write that on the bottom of my shoes, and then I forgot about it after a little while. But I heard a man say one time, he said, you know what ought to be written on our feet if we're shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? Jesus ought to be there, so all when we walk and the enemy's down there, all he sees is Jesus walking over him, because he has been crushed under our feet because of Calvary. I mean, he wasn't just bruised a little bit, but that word means to inflict major damage today. And I want you to know, we sing that song sometime, Mighty Warrior. It says, dress for battle. And it says, and then we take, it talks about taking our stand, and Satan has no authority here. Where is our authority today? David recognized he had a giant problem when he faced Goliath, but because he prepared, he was ready for him. There was not going to be time when he went out with his stones to cry, oh God, give me 21 easy steps on overcoming giant problems. There was going to be no time for a short course in that. He had to prepare ahead of time. God has it in his word. The enemy was made to be destroyed, to be crushed, to be broken, totally shattered to sliverings, you know, and sent back to the pit. So we don't have to be overcome by him. And the fourth stone, if you will notice back in the 16th chapter of 1 Samuel, verses 11 through 13, we find how that he was anointed and sent out when he was called to come there into the presence. We find there in those verses, and it said, and Samuel said unto Jesse, are all here all your children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for he will not set down till he came hither. And he sent, and he brought him in, and he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of the brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him from that day forward. And so Samuel rose up and he went to Ramah. And a little bit further down in that chapter, verse 18, it tells us this. The people even recognized the anointing that was upon David. And it says, and then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite that is cunning in playing and a mighty valiant man and a man of war and prudent in matters and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Praise God. People are going to know if the Lord is with you or not. The sinners can recognize it. That's why they flee our presence many times, because it brings conviction upon them. I've had people tell me, I just cannot. I just don't feel comfortable. I said, well, why not? I'm just a person like anybody else. But yeah, but you walk with the Lord. And I'm not walking with the Lord. And I'm just a little bit uncomfortable. And I said, well, I can tell you how to fix it. I mean, you can fix it. And you can be comfortable walking with the Lord. Praise God. Others recognized it. And over in Samuel, David was very quick to give God praise. We look over in the 22nd chapter, verses 33 to 40, where he tells us these words of, God is my strength and power. He maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and he sitteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Can you do that? In Jesus, you can. In our strength, we can't. But he said we could. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, so that my feet did not slip. And I have pursued mine enemies and destroyed them and turned not again until I had consumed them. Praise God. And I have consumed them and wounded them that they could not arise. Yea, they are fallen under my feet, For thou hast girded me with strength to the battle. Praise God. Then thou rose up against me. Them that rose up against me hast thou subdued under me. David was quick to give a praise back to God for the anointing and the power of God that rested upon him. You and I must be careful to do that also. Praise God. And Psalms 18, I want to share these with you. Psalms 18, verse 39. These are so good. Oh, God's Word is so rich. God's Word is so wonderful. Oh, praise God. It's so alive. People say it's dead. They don't know my God. Amen. Chapter 18, verses 39 and 40. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. We hear him praising again. Thou hast subdued under me that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. And we're reminded in Zechariah, isn't it, in chapter 4, verse 6, where it says, it's not by might and not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. David had the power of the Holy Spirit behind him. Acts 1 and 8 is ours today, and it says, that ye shall be my witnesses. When you have received the Holy Ghost, you will have the power to be my witnesses everywhere you go. Praise God. And another one, the fifth one, is love. You can have everything else, and if you do not have love, it is nothing. We're told that in 1 Corinthians 13 and 13, where the greatest of these, and in chapter 12 and all of those chapters right there, it talks about it. Why do the men of our country go to battle? It's for love of their countrymen, their families, for the upkeeping of their home to keep it free. That's why they go to battle for us. And they go fearlessly and unafraid, and they lay their life down. The greatest of all these. And in John 15 it says, greater love hath no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. You can give without loving, but you cannot give without loving. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. That's the reality of it. Praise God. Soldiers give their lives for us. You and I have not been given the stones of courage and faith, determination, and the Holy Spirit, and love for any selfish person, reason. Just to sit down and be comfortable. Your nest is only then about to be disturbed. You know, the eagle will let her little eaglets stay in the nest till a certain period of time. And they get so big. They get so clumsy. And she says, I've got to devise a way to get them out of the nest. And she sets about. She starts pulling out the padding. Maybe you're here this morning and you're in the place where God is pulling out your padding. And it sticks. And it hurts. But he wants you to leave your place of comfort and get in the battle with him. It'll be worth it. Tell you, we have got the keys this morning. You ladies, hold the keys in your hand that can set our world free. I get very upset at the news when you read it, when you see it, when you read it in your papers. And we see the terrible things that are happening across our land. Why? Because most of us have left our prayer closets and we're not praying for our countries. We don't even pray for one another many times like we should. Much less our country. And then no wonder they don't have strength to solve the problems. There's not enough money in the world to buy an answer to the problems. Calvary bought the answer. And ladies, let me tell you this. You've been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. You have been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. You have the answers. God, shake our nest. Pull out all of our padding, Lord. Let us learn what it is to suffer for the name of Jesus again. You ready for battle? Do you want to be that mighty warrior? Praise God. Tell you what. You and I should be in the position with God that the enemy trembles when we get out of bed every morning. We're armed with it, folks. We've got his word.
We've got His Holy Spirit. We have His strength. He's given us His faith. He doesn't want us to be defeated. We're not the victim. We are the victors. Oh, I tell you, I was watching TBN last week one night. Maybe some of you saw this program. I sat there and I wept and I cried. Nancy Harmon was on, and she introduced a little missionary to the Far East that had been a missionary some 29 years. This little guy had come back to the States. He'd been back 9 times for surgery. Last October, this little man passed away. I'll have to tell you this. He's 80 years old now. He went to the mission field when he was about 65, and he said, God, I want 25 years to work for You. He said, friends, my 80 years, my 20 years has expired. I've got 5 more. His steps were so faltering. His name was Bill Hartley. And as he was there, you could just feel something. I said, oh, God. Nancy took him aside. She said, I always want to honor You today. I just want You to come over and sit down by me and let You love me. And I thought, God, how many missionaries have been brought back to this country and nobody saluted them? Nobody was there to welcome them in. Nobody was glad for the sacrifice they had given. You know, it's not just the missionaries that we don't take enough concern for either. It's our pastors. All those that serve in positions of authority in our church and our country. We don't pray like we used to. What's wrong with this church? What's wrong? Have we lost our power? Have you lost your stones? Have you lost your stones this morning? I trust not. But I want to shake us up, friends. We have got a world to win. The little man said, he says, I've been very sick in body, but he says, there are still a few more souls that need to be saved. And as feeble as he was still plodding on for the Lord, still going back overseas, he and his wife. I thought, oh God, as I sat there and I wept, I said, God, open the doors. Send me out, Lord. There's a world to reach, and I pray that we all catch that vision this morning. God has a job for us to do. There's giants that we need to take down this morning. Maybe you have to get in a place this morning to let God prepare you before you can do that. I believe today that the Lord is trying to raise up an army of intercessors today that will go back to their closets of prayer. An army that will not be afraid to invade the enemy's camp. Because as the children of God, He's given us the equipment to be armed and dangerous to the devil. We've been armed and dangerous to the devil. There's a little reading I want to give you as I try to close this morning. Give us a watchword for the hour, a thrilling word, and a word of power, a battle cry, a flaming breath, a call to conquest or to death, a word to rouse the church from rest, to heed the master's highest behest. The call is given, ye hosts arise. The watchword is evangelized. To fallen man, a dying race, make known the gift of God's grace. The world that now in darkness lies, O Christ, O Church of Christ, evangelize. I say, God, today, oh, give us out where they are. Don't be afraid to meet the giants today. It's time for the church to arise and to go forth conquering and to conquer. We're not defeated this morning. The war has already been won. I read the back of the book. Praise God. And ladies, He wants to use you in whatever way possible. You have a job to do for the Lord. Are we ready for battle this morning? God bless you as you bow your heads this morning. Father, we just thank You this morning for this time of sharing, Lord, with this people. And Father, they've been so attentive to You this morning. Father, we just pray that You have stirred our hearts, Lord. Oh God, that we would not just be a hearer of the things that we have heard, but a doer of the Word. Father, we thank You for Your Word that You have shared with us, that we are a victorious group of ladies, that You want to send out reflecting Your glory from the armor of God that shines upon us, O God. And Lord, we just know the day that you have special blessings and special graces for this people today. And Father, today we pray for those, Lord, that are in our midst that are so burdened. And the enemy has so come to defeat them, Father, that it seems that their prayers don't even get above their heads. And Father, they don't even feel like many times if they can even lift their heads up and look into your face. But Father, you're standing there with outstretched arms to welcome them. Lord, you want to pour the oil and the wine into their cups this morning. Lord, you want to send the healing balm of Gilead over their souls to make them a brave warrior for you, a fearless one, a strong one that will go out marching to our heavenly high priest orders. Father, we thank you this morning for your children, Lord. We pray in the next little while, Lord, that you would just minister to your children in a very deep and a special way, Father. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you're the answer. Lord, we don't have man's answers, but your word, and you do. And you send your word, Lord, and it brings the deliverance. And we thank you for that.